Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Has the West gotten rid of the concept that they have to support Ukraine much longer? In other words, has the West written off Ukraine? Is the West tired of that war? There are many indications which seem to support this conclusion. Let me start with the United States. Recently, Mr. Orban from Hungary met with Donald Trump, and Mr. Orban reported afterwards that Trump as president would not give one penny to Ukraine. Now, whether that was actually the gist of the conversation or whether that was just a concept Mr. Orban took out of the conversation, we don't know. But we do know that Mr. Trump has been saying time and again that he would carefully look at supporting Ukraine further with weapons and with finances. Now, if that was the case, if actually the United States would stop supporting Ukraine, then the war would be over, as Mr. Orban said, because Europe alone could not possibly do it. And let's talk about Congress. We know that Congress up until now has not given further financial and military support to Ukraine. And part of the reason, of course, is that we don't even know where the money is going. Ukraine is still one of the most corrupt countries in the world, and there is no accounting. And so people are saying, well, we are giving all that money, we are giving them all these weapons, and then we find out the weapons end up in the hands of enemies. And so, no, enough is enough. Now, let me just say that it's not just Congress, it's not just the Republicans, it's also the Democrats who have misgivings about continuing supporting Ukraine financially and militarily. And of course, that is also true for Europe, and especially Germany, that in a moment. But I have an article here by a German paper, magazine, Focus, which stated on March 12th, "There are increasing signs that the West sees the war as lost and will try to come to terms with Vladimir Putin. The invaded country can no longer survive," talking about Ukraine. "The Russian army has annexed 18% of Ukrainian territory," and let me just add here, if it comes to the end of the war, Russia is not going to give up any of these occupied territories. They will keep those. It goes on to say, 3.7 million people had to leave their homes within the country. 6.4 million have fled the country. The Ukrainian government is now largely dependent on foreign aid in its conduct of the war. Russia continues to show itself to be economically vital in the third year after the attack. Joe Biden's fiery speeches do not change the fact that the Democrats also have lost a desire to finance overseas wars. Olaf Scholz, of course a German chancellor, has mentally put the Ukraine war behind him. He definitely does not want to further increase the risk to the Federal Republic. Business would like to normalize relations with Russia and expects big gains in the reconstruction of Ukraine. You know, they have made big gains when helping by sending weapons, by manufacturing weapons, helping to destroy Ukraine. Now they are anxious to make big gains to reconstruct it. Now, today, Chancellor Scholz and the German parliament have decided for the third time that they are not going to send these Taurus missiles to Ukraine. And, of course, there is opposition to this idea, but Scholz has been adamant so far that he's not going to do it because he feels that would escalate the situation even further. And let me also just say that Scholz, the Chancellor, has the unique and sole power to make the decision. Even if Parliament would say, no, send it, he still can say, no, I'm not going to send it, and he has the authority to do that. Now, of course, the decision might have also had some idea insofar as the recent scandal with the German military is concerned. You probably heard about it. A confidential communication was leaked to Russia and was published. The Ron Paul Institute wrote on March 9, German military leaders may have bungled foolishly over their private discussions regarding operational plans against Russia. However, the security of their incompetent communication, while laughable, does not lessen the seriousness of what was being discussed. Ingo Gerhards, one of the leaders in the military, and his aides were earnestly weighing up the technical and propaganda means by which to strike Russia with long-range ballistic Taurus cruise missiles. The weapon has supposedly not yet been supplied to the Ukrainian regime due to concerns among some German politicians, including Chancellor Scholz, that doing so would escalate the war with Russia. It is clear from the audio tape that the German military chiefs are frustrated by the politicians not ordering the supply of the Taurus. Now, the article goes on to say how they discussed trying to blame somebody else for sending those weapons so that the German government is not going to be blamed for it. But, of course, Boris Pistorius, the German defense minister, is already preparing for the eventuality that Taurus missiles will be sent to Russia. And as I said, the decision by Scholz and the German parliament at this point is being opposed within Germany, also by France, Mr. Emmanuel Macron, who wants to be the new Napoleon, the emperor of war, and specifically by Great Britain. We have this article by Focus dated March 3. The British Times recently found that Scholz was the weakest link in the group of NATO allies who particularly support Ukraine. The former British Defense Minister, Ben Wallace, judged even harsher. Scholz was the wrong man in the wrong job at the wrong time. If a chancellor looks bad in the eyes of his own people, that is bad for him and his party. On the other hand, if a chancellor is also seen as weak abroad, then that is bad for Germany. But you see, maybe, prophetically speaking, Scholz is not the wrong man in the wrong job at the wrong time. Maybe he has to be there to prevent further escalation with Russia, because the time hasn't come yet where there's going to be a war between Russia and Germany. Not yet. But there is a third, quote-unquote, element here to look into, which also shows that the West is not any longer that supportive of a Russian-Ukrainian war. I'm talking about, of course, Pope Francis. Deutsche Welle wrote on March 10, Pope Francis has come in for fierce criticism over remarks that Ukraine should have what he called the courage of the white flag and negotiate an end to the war with Russia. Many interpreted it as a call for Ukrainian surrender. The Associated Press added on March 10, the foreign minister of Poland, a vocal ally of Kyiv and Ukraine's ambassador to the Vatican, both used World War II appeasement of Adolf Hitler analogies to condemn the Pope's remarks. Throughout the war, Francis has tried to maintain the Vatican's traditional diplomatic neutrality, but that has often been accompanied by apparent sympathy with the Russian rationale for invading Ukraine, such as when he noted that NATO was barking at Russia's door with its eastward expansion. And then Pope Francis also said, when you see that you are going to be defeated, that things don't go well, one has to have the courage to negotiate, talking about Ukraine. Now, he later doubled down and said that war is wrong, period, and of course he's right with that assessment. But here he was specifically talking about Ukraine and the recommendation to negotiate in order to end the war. Now, prophetically speaking, as I said, there is no war prophesied at this point between Russia and Germany. In fact, prophecy tells us that Russia and Ukraine will unite. They will become one power bloc, as Russia has been saying all along. We are Russia and Ukraine is part of Russia. This is what's prophesied. And so that war will end sooner or later. But then, ultimately, yes, a war between Russia and Ukraine on the one hand, combined with other Far Eastern nations, and continental Europe under German leadership on the other hand, will occur. And so we have prepared a free booklet, The Mysteries of the Book of Revelation. And this booklet explains the Book of Revelation, the events described there in a prophetic way. And it goes into what I have just talked with you about today. So please ask for a free copy of this booklet. And until next time, this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.